This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Was your mission statement created by yourself, or was it a collaborative effort from your employees? Is it listed on your website's homepage? Do your customers know what it is? From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto, and I'm with Bill Greeno at the 2022 Elite Invitational, and he discusses how his team revamped their mission statement to a passion statement. Find out why affirmations were critical in starting the process. Hey, thanks to our partner NAPA for providing this episode. You know, how does NAPA support your auto care center through national marketing? Well, NAPA will build upon the already successful Know How for All campaign and promote auto care offering and services to our Do It For Me customer through support through the sales driver promotions, optimized target media in local markets, and improving channels that gives your repair facility an online presence on NAPA Online that generates millions of views per month. Hey, if you're interested in partnering with NAPA Auto Care and capitalizing on the NAPA Know How for All national marketing campaign, do it. Contact your servicing NAPA Auto Parts store. Hey, we're here in San Diego. It's Carm Capriotto, my guest Bill Greeno. We're at the Elite Invitational here. Wow, this is what a cool event.
It's amazing, isn't it? I love San Diego. I've never been here.
Well, Bill, it's great to see you in person. You've been on the show a bunch of times. I looked it up. It was May 2017. We did an interview with you, and I loved the interview. It was great. And subsequently, I've had you on again and again.
I should have gone back and reviewed that.
Well, I actually was trying to do that, but I said, you know, here we are, how many, 5 years later? Let's leave that in the past and let's kind of move forward.
Yeah, a few things have changed.
I bet you they have. In fact, before we turned on the record button here, we were just chatting about stuff, finding out that Bill has renamed his business, rebranded his business, and remissioned his business, and you've become an elite coach. You actually ran your wife's dad's family's business for a bit as the COO.
I'm about 20 hours a week-ish.
That's cool.
Yeah, I keep an eye on the numbers. I still take care of payroll, take care of the accounts payable, and keep an eye on the accounts receivable.
So back when I first met you, you were Quality Automotive and Smog. I could never understand why people in California threw the word smog in the name of their business. Never could figure that out. Because if I lived here, you have to have a smog test. Is every facility smog authorized?
No. In fact, most auto shops, the smart ones, don't do smog.
They don't. Let someone else handle it, right?
Yeah.
What's the investment?
The investment is one thing, and it used to be much larger. With the vehicles that are pre-2000 required a very large setup, very expensive, large setup. The investment now is smaller, but for whatever reason, the Bureau of Automotive Repair, which is our governing body and consumer protection group, they go to great lengths to enforce the law of smog in smog shops to make sure that they're not bending the rules. And it's punitive. Big fines, and they take your license away, which is how I bought the company. The previous owner was losing his license because he had 3 violations in 1 year.
So you dropped the word smog.
Smog.
And it's now called
Quality Automotive Servicing.
I love the servicing thing because it sounds actionable.
It is. It is. And, you know, we went round and round with Quality Automotive Services, Quality Automotive Service, Quality Automotive Servicing.
I love it.
It is more actionable.
By the way, just as an FYI, Tracy's here with me in San Diego and is hanging out on microphone number 3. So you decided to rebrand. I mean, is the renaming and the rebranding kind of working together? Did you change logo? What did you do?
Yeah, the logo stayed very similar. We have added a QAS to our repertoire of logos. But we did it because smog wasn't friendly. And we spent a ton of time and effort trying to tell people that we did more than just smog, because people thought of us as just a smog shop. And we had 30, 40 customers coming through a day for smogs. And the service counter was just always busy. And there was very little room to take care of the customers with the larger repairs,
yeah,
which are more important to the business as well as to the customer than a smog check. They can get a smog check anytime,
yeah,
anywhere.
You're a deep thinker, and I know that you were telling me about remissioning the business, the passion that you had to bring your people inside of coming up with a brand new mission statement. And that's one of the reasons they say, hey, listen, I know you know Bill, but bring him in the studio and find out how he did this, because I think it would help the rest of the industry.
The renaming was sort of a beginning of, yeah, of these things, right? We wrote a new vision statement as well. And our vision statement is we go the distance. Before that, it was your trusted local auto care. We decided again to redo that. For me, the words are so nebulous. I don't know that they're very important in the title. You know, a vision statement, a mission statement, a this, a that. For my purposes, a vision statement is just pie in the sky, something that fits on a shirt, something that's almost slogan worthy.
But do your people get behind it? Say there's a value set and a vision, and you can always steer an individual's performance based on that, those culture statements in your business.
Yes, you can certainly dictate what the mission is, or you can get people involved in it. I don't know that one is wrong. I think that either way is fine.
Sure.
For my purposes, because we work together so much on everything as a shop, a mission statement doesn't work if you don't talk to your people. And when I say talk to your people, I don't mean talking about the next car or Mrs. Jones or the parts and if they've been ordered or not. You have to have meetings. You have to have times that you sit down and establish expectations and talk about desires and direction and these kinds of things. So whether you mandate a mission as an owner or whether you work on it collectively, either way, there's got to be time that you sit down with your staff and evaluate it. It's a measurable item, right? That you sit down and you talk about whether or not you're meeting the mark of that mission.
Yeah. People are driving down the road. They're on their treadmill. They're cutting the grass. They're listening to this. And this whole meeting thing. Now, you've coached for a long time. You've been in the industry. You're a respected leader in our industry. How many times have you sat with people, networking group or whatever, and said, are you having meetings? Isn't it a negative response? I don't just sit with my people. Meetings are so important, but it's almost like people don't want to have them.
Well, you have to talk to people when you have a meeting.
and probably listen to them.
And listen, yeah.
And we've done shows on these, you know, mini scrums, you know, if it's the 10-minute morning toolbox rally.
Yeah.
To outline the week, to outline the day, to talk about the things that are going on in their world, in their life. I just think there's so much to learn if you aren't supposed to be the agenda's talking head.
Right. And coming together to meet every week can get laborious. And is there always something to talk about? No. Sometimes you just celebrate the week. Other times, I think as the leader and as the owner, and therefore leader, whether you like it or not, it's good to direct the conversation and to have the conversation, have an expectation of what the conversation is going to be week in and week out. So for instance, in this particular iteration of our mission writing, I set the expectation that we were going to spend the next several months, however long it takes, doing some particular things in our meeting every week to arrive at a place where we begin to write our mission statement. Everybody had an expectation of what was happening every week at the meeting.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool, you know, to have this agenda that was kind of set up ahead of time for weeks and weeks and weeks of meetings.
Hey, have you visited the Napa Auto Care member site lately? Well, since its relaunch in 2020, the Napa Auto Care member site has continued to evolve to keep members updated on all the Napa programs, promotions, member benefits, and business building tools to help your business thrive. Some features to the member site include never miss an update, stay current with notifications and announcements on the homepage, and view the dashboard featuring your shop's financial status. Also, take advantage of cost-saving member exclusive promotions and a faster automated 24/24 peace of mind warranty submission process. Submit re-repair claims directly on the member site and easily check the status there as well. Now, typically the claim is settled and EFT or credit card payment is sent within 48 hours. Turn searches into a new customer with a referral tracker. Now learn more about how a consumer NAPA online search for your shop can generate new customers at no additional cost to members. Use this popular customer tool to evolve your marketing strategies and to get the most business value. Own more than one NAPA Auto Care? Link all your facilities to one login and access all the facilities to one user. You can also access the Shop NAPA Helm or Pro Office website directly. You can also submit a pro image free look for a sneak peek at how you can co-brand your locally known name with a nationally recognized NAPA brand. Also, submit online ASE certification renewal and test reimbursements. You also get exclusive access to dozens of industry-leading programs and solutions. Now, if you're a NAPA Auto Care member, visit member.napaautocare.com to access the member portal and take advantage of these many member benefits today. Now, if you're not a NAPA Auto Care Center, contact your servicing NAPA Auto Parts store to learn more about how to join the NAPA family.
It was your job to pull from them these incredible bits of affirmations, information, feelings, desires, so that you could help take that word cluster, those sentence clusters that you were collecting, and then somehow say, look at this basket of stuff we have after 5, 6, however long it is. Now let's see if we can make macaroni out of it or something, right? I mean, here it is. You've got something to cook.
Yeah. So it all began, for me. It's tough to be the leader of the business and the head coach, you know, to be the owner of the football team and the head coach.
Sure.
It's difficult. And so I don't try to do that. So I bring in a coach every year. And so we started this whole process with a day of coaching from another industry person. And we had a wonderful class and he talked to us a lot about some of the benefits and powers behind things like affirmations. You know, he talked about the way the mind works and, you know, how it doesn't know the difference, you know, between what is and what could be. You know, old Napoleon Hill kind of ideas.
Okay,
from that book. And so it got people thinking and it got people believing a different way. That opened the door for me then to set the stage for, I want a new mission statement. We need a new mission statement. We deserve a new mission statement. We need to talk in our mission statement about what we want to be, not just who we are, but affirming every day for ourselves and our customers who we want to be. And so we started the process by every Friday at our meeting, finishing the meeting, breaking up into pairs randomly each week and writing down an affirmation for ourselves for the weekend or for the following week and then sharing it with the person. And then the person would say it back and they would write it down as well. So you'd finish every Friday with a card that had your affirmation and your partner's affirmation written on it. And I asked the guys to keep those and we had a little, you know, stack by the end of however many months it was. It was several months.
How many did you collect?
Probably 10, 12, something like that. Not everybody's there every week. So,
okay. But know. 10 or 12 per or 10 or 12 collectively?
10 or 12. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Each.
Each. Okay.
Yeah.
And give me an idea of an affirmation that you would have heard.
They ranged from being very simple, like I'm going to have a great weekend, to I want to be a better father. Or I'm going to be a better father. And that was an interesting one because we talked about teaching their kids this very skill and how important and how successful their kids could be just because they learn to affirm and to speak what they want to be. And then I would say it back. You want to be a better father. That's amazing. And I'd write it down.
Would you have, knowing this individual, said, you know, that's a great thing. What's the first thing you're going to do? Would you ever challenge the think?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just let it be.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think you limit the creative process when you do that, right? You start, maybe at some point you have to write those things down of how you're going to be a better father.
Yeah. There's the how. That's the how piece. I mean, if I say that I want to do this, but I never thought of how. do I need someone like a peer to challenge me to say, well, have you ever thought of your first step to get there?
At some point, that's appropriate. In the particular setting that we were in, just really saying it was enough.
You were trying to make it safe.
Get the ball rolling.
It was safe. You didn't have to quantify or qualify what you meant.
Right. When you get out of bed in the morning and you decide, and then you say out loud, I'm going to have a great day today. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to go and interview with Carmen Tracy this morning and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah. I don't have to ask you how are you going to do that? He's right.
It limits, it creates doubt, things like that.
You're right.
Early on.
Even sure how I'm going to pull that off, but I think I'm going to do it.
You know, that's something very interesting because so many people will say to each other when you're like leaving the house, usually say, you know, I hope you have a great day. Flipping it and saying it yourself, I'm going to have a great day, is something totally different. And I think really powerful.
It's funny you say that. It reminds me, I was just at my daughter's graduation at Belmont University in Nashville 2 weeks ago. And the dean of the school gave the keynote address. Their slogan is they're agents of change. And he went into this story about his father-in-law, who every time they would meet, He was from the South, and he would say, what you know good? Hey, Carm, what you know good? And what that translates to is, tell me something good. What's the good news, brother?
What you know good?
What you know good?
What you know good?
And he talked about every time they'd meet, that was tell me what the good news is.
It's a great day. I got up, the sun's shining. It's going to be a beautiful day.
And it's a great greeting.
Yeah.
Right?
What you know good?
Hi, how are you? That's a horrible greeting. Compared to, tell me the good news.
Yeah, tell me something good.
What have you been up to that's good? It kind of flips the switch. It does. It reframes, mm-hmm. like Tracy said.
Whatcha, Whatcha. Whatcha.
Know. Or maybe it was N-O. I don't know.
Whatcha, N-O-G-D. Good. And that is as slang as we can get it. Whatcha no good.
So weeks upon weeks of practicing positive thought is what we were doing.
Then did you all collaborate with these and pick the actionable words?
Yeah. So we sat down and at a meeting and Jamie grabbed the whiteboard and the pen, actually a flip chart so we could keep them. And we started just brainstorming words that we thought fit or defined us. But we wrote down all the words and then and celebrated that, like, hey, that's great. That's a great collection. What was really neat, there was 1 week that only like six of us, and it wasn't me, six of them from the shop were at the meeting, and they went and they brought lunch to a park, and they sat on the grass, and they each took all the words and started writing mission statements, and they brought them back, and they had six different mission statements that they had created individually.
Wait a minute, Bill, you let your people leave. I know you weren't there, and they went to a park. The shop had to shut down. You probably pissed off a customer because the car wasn't ready. I'm being a naysayer here. And there's just so much of that goes on. I mean, you're stretching to be a leader. In fact, your leadership is so good that they did it without you.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, and the mission statements were just so on point. And so Jamie and I, she's our communications coordinator, we sat down with all the mission statements and drew out the sentences, kind of wordsmithed it together into a collaboration of what everyone had written. And it was really cool, just amazing. And I have to name names. The two that really stood out to me were Jack and Jody. Jack is just finished his apprenticeship with us a year ago or so. He's 22. He started, his first sentence was, our passion is. I had given some instructions. I said, I'd like for the mission statement to start out, our mission is. Something actionable, mm-hmm. our mission, right? That's a powerful thing. Well, you know, being the 22-year-old, of course, he does exactly what I said not to do. He used some other word. Our passion is. And it really struck me to the level that we renamed our mission statement, our passion statement. And then Jody, who's one of our technicians, I'm going to say the body of what we ended up with was in large part due to what he wrote. It was really cool.
So they have some ownership in it.
Yeah. And these are the technicians, right? I mean, the other folks that were there did some great work too. They write all the time. They're service writers, right? So it was great to get the best story from the tech who's always providing stories.
Oh, cool. I met Jamie yesterday, communication coordinator. It's such an interesting title. When I met her and I saw your introductions, I realized that's a brainiac position in my mind, because we know the gaps from management to counter to customer to technicians. There's so many ways for it to break.
Yeah. And isn't that what we're talking about, is communication? I think that's where the mission statement comes in, is it's a way to communicate to oneself as well as one another, as well as the customer every day, what that passion or that mission of that company is.
What we do.
Yeah. And it gives somebody like Jamie, whose job is communication, both internal and external, another tool in her toolbox to communicate from. I guess I should share it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Talk about it here. If you go to qualityautomotiveservicing.com, you'll find it on the first page. Our passion statement: we go beyond the obvious to educate customers with full disclosure and transparency, so you, the advisor, and the technician can find the best solution to keep your vehicle reliable for years to come. Our business maintains a clean work and customer environment, commits to individual and team training, invests in our community.
I mean, there's a lot of action words there that people can relate to. Invests, commits, maintains. And the other thing I love about this, so you, the advisor and the technician, you're telling the customer who comes to your page what your team is responsible for.
And it was really amazing yesterday with the customer panel to hear them say that all these things. It's like, if they read this, they would come to my shop, because these are all the things that they said they wanted.
Yeah, let's bring the audience a little into the loop. There was a panel. I think there were six, and two of them went to independents and the other ones went to dealerships. Bob pulled a heck of, I don't know, the 3 hours altogether or even more. And the questions from the audience and the questions that Bob gave brought an insight as to why some of these people prefer the dealership. And frankly, they didn't know enough about our business.
They really didn't, but they were comfortable. And like Bob said, they're humans are lazy. And once they find a place they're comfortable, why look elsewhere? But that was a great message for us too.
It was.
For our customers that have found us and are comfortable with us. And that isn't it our job to make them comfortable with full disclosure and transparency, so you, the advisor and the technician, can keep your vehicle reliable for years to come.
Yeah, right.
You know, and what are you going to find when you get there? You're going to find a clean environment and people that are trained, right? The customer panel talked all about certification yesterday. They want approved technicians. Well, there you go. They're trained, team training. Invest in the community. Whether you're in a big city or a small town, you know, pick something, you know, that you get involved with.
It's like four or five sentences that basically say, here's what you're going to experience. This is what we're going to do for you. This is how you're going to feel when you're done. This is our commitment. I don't see many purpose or passion statements on the first page above the fold on anybody's website.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to Bob Cooper on that. When I came to work for Elite, it struck me that his mission statement, or Elite's mission statement, I should say, literally graces every page of every document. You can't open a page on the website without the mission statement being there. You can't receive an email from an Elite coach without the mission statement being in the signature line.
Yeah.
You can't receive a document, a folder, a handout from Elite that does not have the mission statement on it.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
We need to splash our mission statement everywhere. And then I said, but our mission statement sucks. We got to get a new one.
So when you're hiring someone, obviously, since this mission statement is so critical to you, are you making sure that that individual who is considering working here, as applying here, can read that and understand it and realize that thanks for coming here with your great customer service skills. Thanks for coming here, bringing all your tools and your technical ability. However, this is the umbrella over which you need to live in. Is that part of that hiring process?
That's a great question, and it will be. We haven't hired anybody since we wrote this. It's interesting that you asked that, because we read a book as a shop every year. Mm-hmm. And the book that we read last fall, fourth quarter is when we do it, was the ideal team player.
Okay.
If I was to give you the real down and dirty Cliff Note version of what was important in that book to me, was telling people during the interview process what your values are and telling them that if you're going to work out here, you're going to have to share these values. And it's and someone that doesn't share these values, it's going to be a very painful environment for. So we want to get this right out front and make sure that everybody agrees on these things. So this is that perfect filter once again.
Yeah,
it's just another, it's another filter to filter out things that would be in opposition to this.
Yeah.
Right? A dirty work environment, a dirty front office with spotty windows and dirt in the corners. And like the panelist said yesterday, if you have a dirty shop, my car is going to be dirty.
Yeah.
My clean car is going into your dirty shop and your dirty mechanic is going to get into my clean car.
Dirty counter, dirty tools, dirty bathroom. And they said, I don't want anyone who represents dirt in my car.
They made that very clear to the customer panel. This is a filter then for that clean environment.
You know, I've been to shops at the counter and seen the dust that collects beyond the plexiglass thing, beyond the little parts flyer or cardboard on the counter beside, and you look and you see it's kind of unkept. It may not look terribly dirty, but it's unkept. And that's still a part of the image of the company.
Yeah.
And how hard would it be to take that daily rag or spray pledge, you know, and just clean and shine?
I think it is hard. I think it has to be a part of your mission.
Yeah.
You think about other industries, like going to a restaurant. If you walked into a restaurant and it was a mess, there's dirty dishes everywhere on the tables in the front. And then you peek and you see, you know, the window for the kitchen and it's totally gross.
Wait a minute. Wait, you mean the cook is smoking a cigar and got a real ugly beard?
No way. Yeah. And going back to your passion statement, I really like that you're addressing the customer because that's who's going to your website. They're going to search. Maybe they saw an ad. Maybe they're looking in their area. And so the immediate representation, you're addressing it as we are working with you.
Yeah. And reliable, right?
Yeah.
We're keeping your car reliable because that's so important. You know, whether you're Saren, the soccer mom from the panel yesterday, who's got a car full of kids, or Jody, who made it very clear that when I drop off my car at your shop and I'm without my car, you've just made parenting more difficult for me. You've made my marriage more difficult for me. You've made my workday more difficult for me. And it was like, wow, talk about hitting all of us right between the eyes. Mm-hmm. This is not a great day for me when I have to go to the auto shop. Take that and reframe it. You know, and how do we not challenge her parenting and her marriage that day? How do we help in keeping her car reliable? Because the same is true if her car breaks down.
Let me ask you, I'm going to throw a wild curve at you, Bill. Is that okay?
Hardball.
The second sentence here. So you, the advisor and the technician, can find the best solution to keep your vehicle reliable for years to come. Did you take out the word safe and reliable? The word safe before reliable? To me, that's a passion word, being safe, family safe, safe and reliable for years to come. It's just my crazy thought because I hear so much about that intimacy. When you talk safety and reliability, I want it to start when it needs to start and take me where I want to go. But I also want to drive down the road and know that my brakes have been checked. And you know, there's this long list of, you know, maybe even if it's declined work, but it was my decision to decline it. But these people are hovering over the safety of my vehicle and the grandkids seats in the back, or, you know, if you will, the soccer mom vehicle. I just believe today, I think we're maybe missing the word safety in a lot of the things that we talk about.
I don't know that we omitted that. I don't know that it came up collectively.
Maybe it doesn't come up because you know why? We do this. This is what we do. And sometimes what we do is so plain on our face, we forget to even speak that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I know. That's good.
I love it.
Let's take a little side trip about the communication coordinator. How does everything funnel in and out and up and through Jamie? I'm curious.
Yeah, what are her daily responsibilities and her larger responsibilities? So, you know, daily responsibilities are handwritten thank you cards to each and every customer.
Wow.
That's a big part of her day, is writing those. And they're all different. They're all customized to that particular car, that particular customer. We have a program, an app called Property Radar, and it allows us to receive a collection of all the public records of all the documents that come together when someone buys a house. And so I get their mailing address, email, names, phone numbers sometimes, of these new folks who have just moved to our community. And that happened a lot over the last few years.
Sure.
And so she sends out a welcome to town package to each one of those people. And it comes with an ice scraper, because where we live, tire pressure gauge, comes with a monogrammed Quality Automotive Servicing shop rag, you know, coupons for other businesses, because we don't discount, and a little welcome letter about know us before you need us. And basically it encourages them to come and see our shop, or at least call, or at least email, very least, and get your name and your VIN number in our system. Got so it. That if you do need us, we know who you are already. And
stop by and register with us.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Just a sprinkling of some of her daily activities. She also handles all the email requests.
Okay.
For appointments. She answers the phone. I'm going to say, somewhere in the 25% of the time, there's four people up front, so she's probably answering it at least 25% of the time, which is wonderful, because she also does our radio ads. She's a professional singer. So she's got an amazing voice, and she's on the recording.
Oh, cool.
So when you call Quality Automotive, you're going to hear her voice in the background on your radio playing. And then, and then she comes on the line and people say, you're a real person.
Yeah,
she's also responsible for internal communication, making sure that the day to day communication that happens throughout the shop is done well and follows the mission of the company. She handles communication on every level.
Marketing and all?
Marketing is communication. Yes.
Yeah.
So,
is she taking pictures of, some really interesting things, anniversaries, birthdays?
Yeah. She handles all the birthdays.
And
our new, her next endeavor will be doing the little movies, moviettes, the 3 to 5 second collections that we will be putting together. She now writes the radio ads. She's been working with Sheila for the last couple of years. Sheila's my wife, who has handled the marketing and, communication up until now. So this is a succession plan for Sheila.
Got it.
And she's been able to take Jamie, Sheila being a marketing executive from a previous life, and train Jamie in the world of communication and marketing.
Where'd you find her?
Met her through her husband, and he is our BMW master tech. I propositioned her to come work for us probably a year. I told her, I said, I'd like to see you come work for us eventually. So just think about that. And a year later, I said, I'd really like for you to consider coming in. We've got a job open for the service advisor position. And she said, no, I'm not interested. And I said, all right, well, why don't we have lunch and let's talk about it.
And a no is a no just for now.
Yeah. I don't do well with no. So she said no. And I said, okay, well then I really want you to come work for us. And how about this other job that I'm just making up, because it doesn't exist currently?
I'm making a job for you. Please listen to me.
Yeah. And we did. I'd been thinking about Sheila's succession. And one of the things in our world that we just overlook all the time is communication with the customer. We think about it as a pain in the butt. The phone's ringing. I got to answer the phone. Now the person wants a price on something. And, I got to call them we found out what's wrong with the car and it needs an engine. And I got to communicate that with. And none of us are marketing experts, at least, in the typical shop owner, shop mechanic, service advisor world. So to have had Sheila as part of, as the ownership of the business has been amazing. And then looking at the future of the business without Sheila and I, guaranteeing its success requires someone like Sheila or Jamie, as it were. So, yeah. I think I introduced her yesterday as the communication commander.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah. I think we had breakfast together yesterday. It was great. You have an amazing business. One final question, and you've coached for a long time, run a great business, obviously are moving that business forward with reinvention. I love it. New name, new branding, new marketing, new passion statement. When you look at the industry, what advice? I mean, is it just one snippet you could give to a struggling shop owner?
Build your people. You got to build your people. You got to take the Jamies of the world and teach them how to be an expert at marketing. You got to take the kid who's had a semester or a year of auto shop or just is interested and available and put them through an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
You got to build your people. You got to find them and you got to make them. And I think you're kidding yourself. Everybody says, I just need one master tech. You know, well, do you? I was just talking with Tim yesterday, one of the shop owners here, and he says, yeah, you know, I lost all my guys. The foreman left and he took everybody with him. He says, I'm making a go at it now with two kids or three kids that he hired out of the local college, two kids from the college and one was his shop porter. He's training them from the ground up. And he says, I'm already back to the same level of service and earnings that I was 3 months ago.
Amazing.
You can do it. You got to build your people.
Build your people. Bill Garrido, Quality Automotive and Servicing. Truckee, California, up near Tahoe, right?
Yes.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. Great to see you, Tracy. Great to see you, Carm.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.